podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Take our Bibles this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 13 to 21 of 1 Peter 1. That is on page 857 of your pew Bible. I don't know what page it is on my Bible, but I'm having a hard time finding it this morning. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were bought or redeemed from the empty way of your life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now this morning, if it sounds like I am talking to our graduates, it's probably because I am. But I want to include everyone else in this as well, so there's something here for everyone, not just for our graduates. And one thing our graduates understand, and just about each one in this room understands, is that nobody sets out in life with hopes of becoming a failure. Nobody sets out in life with hopes of becoming a failure. We all have hopes and dreams. We know what success looks like in our mind, and we push toward that. Failure is earned in life. One bad decision after another. So when we do experience failure in this world, we really only have ourselves to blame. This morning, I'd like for us to talk about the fact that there is a battleground in your life. We've already talked over a couple weeks previous that there is a battle that's taking place over your mind, that there is a battleground in your heart, that the Lord and the enemy are fighting with one another, and the territory for which they're fighting over is your very life, your mind, your heart. And this morning we're talking about the battle for your will. The battle for your will. And there's a question that we begin with this morning, and that's this: the Lord and the enemy are fighting a battle for your will. And your choices, the decisions that you make, decides the outcome of that battle. So who's winning? Who is winning? Take a snapshot of your life where it is right now and say, who's winning? Because I can guarantee you, if the enemy is winning the battle over your will and the decisions that you're making on a day-to-day basis, it's like a snowball that's rolling down a hill full of snow, fresh-packed snow. That snowball's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the further you go and the more bad decisions you make, the harder it will be to stop. But I have good news for you as well, that the same process takes place in the other direction. That if you are making good decisions, honoring decisions to the Lord, that you'll pick up steam. That the Lord will continue to bless, and that you'll see His hand in incredible ways in your life. So what is this thing called the will that we all have? If a doctor cut you down the middle and split you open and did an autopsy on your body, he would not be able to find this thing called the will. Because it takes place within our mind and our heart. It's a part of our emotions. It's just something that happens in our life. And we decide. Every day you make decisions. Some of those are really tiny little decisions that don't seem to matter. You know, what flavor of toothpaste am I going to use? And things like that. Just little decisions that don't really seem to matter. But some of them are huge decisions that we make. And where am I going to go to school? What am I going to study? What's my major going to be? Who am I going to marry? You know, some of these things are huge. And sometimes we don't realize it, but the little decisions we make are just as important as the big decisions that we make. Because sometimes the little decisions will dictate to us what the big decisions will be. So each of us has this will, this place within us where decisions are made. And sometimes we don't stop to think about the decision as it's being made. But what I'm telling you this morning is that the Lord has a stake in this and the enemy has a stake in this. And they're both at war within your heart, trying to get you to decide what they want you to decide. We've all recognized this struggle, this battle taking place before. And the will takes our mind and our hearts into account. So the last 2 weeks that we've talked about the mind and the heart as a battleground is important this morning, because the things that you place in your mind and the things that you desire in your heart that get a hold of you will dictate what you decide as you walk in this world. And sometimes our will just falls lockstep with what feels good at the moment. Sometimes we simply make decisions based on what feels good to me right now. We recognize that that's not always the best decision to make in life. Sometimes we're called to suffer. Sometimes we're called to sacrifice. Sometimes we're called to delay gratification in order to receive something later. And sometimes we become trapped into patterns of poor choices that we make over and over and over again that become habits and addictions and can totally trap us and control our lives. So we need to be cautious and careful about this battle that's taking place over our will. The goal of the believer in Jesus Christ should be to do God's will. To say, Lord, thy will be done. Isn't that a part of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Thy will be done. You, O God, be the Lord over my life. So look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 with me. Because there's a great truth in this verse. It says, it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Isn't that an incredible verse? It says that God is alive and well in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. God is in there, and it's his desire to work within your life in order that you will do his will. You'll do his good purpose. See, God would have you to do what he wants you to do. And so there's this battle taking place because Satan is in within you, trying to get you to do what he wants you to do. God is there living within you by his Holy Spirit, saying, look, do my will. And then you are kind of caught in the middle deciding, what am I going to do? You know, who am I going to listen to? So who is the Lord of your will? Is the question this morning. Who is the Lord of your will? Is it your peers who decide for you how you're going to live your life? What decisions you're going to make? Do you follow their example? Do you follow their wishes? Do you feel sometimes like you're trapped into making decisions that they wanted you to make and you didn't want to make them? Do you follow their wishes, their pressures? Or is the media the Lord of your life? You know, the things that you look at on the screen, whether it's the TV screen, the computer screen, the movie screen, the iPad screen, the smartphone screen, whatever it is you see on the screen, does that pressure you to live your life in a particular way? Or maybe it's your feel-good that makes you, that is the Lord of your will. That whatever feels good, that's the thing that you're going to do. Whatever makes me feel good right now, that is what I choose. If that's true, look out. Because in Proverbs 14:12, one of the wisest men in the world said, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. Solomon spoke from example and from knowledge and from wisdom, and he knew that sometimes the thing that feels good leads to a place where we don't want to go. It leads to disaster. Or is Jesus the Lord of your will? That's my prayer this morning, that Jesus is the Lord of all of our wills, that our decisions are made on the basis of Jesus being the Lord over our lives. Jesus himself lived this example. Look at Luke chapter 22. Jesus said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Have you ever said that to God before? God, there's something that I really want to do, and this is the direction that I feel led, and this would feel really good, you know, and every sign in my life is pointing to that direction, but you know what, God? I don't want to do my will. I want your will to be done in my life. So are you willing to sacrifice what feels good in order to do what God's will is? And then Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's obvious that there's a battle taking place between the pattern of this world that's been established and between God, who would like to transform you and renew your mind and pull you in his direction, and standing in the middle is you. you, determining what the decision is going to be. So graduates and everyone else who's listening this morning, my prayer and hope for you is that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your will, that God wins the battle over your will, that the decisions you make, big and small, will be godly decisions and not worldly ones. And we're going to move through this pretty quick. All right, if Jesus is the Lord of your will, it is because, first of all, you make decisions with the end in mind. That's what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ is revealed." So we live our lives recognizing that Jesus Christ is returning. The decisions that we make today should be made on the basis of that fact. We know Jesus is coming again. There will be a day when you will stand face to face with Jesus in judgment. One day the tape of your life will be played before your eyes. One day you will be held accountable for all of the decisions, big and small, that you have made. Now I praise God that the passage of Scripture says that we set our hope fully on the grace to be given us when Jesus is revealed. Because everybody in this room could say, "I've made some pretty bad decisions, and I really don't want to relive those in front of the eyes of the Lord. I really don't want to be reminded of those on Judgment Day." Well, the fact of the matter is this: if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by His grace, you have been forgiven, that slate has been wiped clean. But that doesn't mean we won't be accountable for them when it comes time for the rewards to be given. And some of you know about rewards because you've received some over the past couple of weeks or so. And they're based on merit. They're based on decisions that you made during your studies, during your extracurricular activities. You made conscious decisions of things that you wanted to do and the person you wanted to be. And as a result of that, you've been rewarded. And I praise God for that. But there's coming a day, a great graduation in the sky, when we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to look over our entire lives. What rewards will we receive? It all determines, it all decides on who wins the battle over our will. Is Jesus the Lord of your will? Every decision you make is a determining factor. And one day He's returning. So make decisions with the end in mind. Secondly, you make decisions based on your calling. See, if Jesus is the Lord of your life and the Lord of your will, it's because you make decisions based on your calling. The passage says, starting in verse 14, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it's written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So you are Christians. You are believers in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Him for salvation. You repented of your sin. You made a decision at one time in your life that you are going to follow Him. And you made a decision that Jesus Christ would be the Lord over your life. That's the decision that you made. Peter says, since you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been called to holiness. That is your calling, holiness. Holiness means to be set apart to God. It may mean that you look kind of different from the rest of the crowd because you're following after God. You are called to holiness. So make decisions based on your calling. Be holy in all that you do because God is holy and He's called you to holiness. Don't go back, he says, and make decisions like you would have if you were unsaved, if you didn't know who God was. If you were unholy, uncalled, ungodly person, you are so much more than that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to be holy. The number one calling of your life is to be holy, to live a new life, a life that's worthy of your calling and to do God's will. So holiness rises above all other callings. Now, I heard some of you talk about the things that you want to do with your life and with your future, and these things are awesome. And I wish you all of the success in these things. I want you to rise to the top of your field and make us all proud. You know, it's just going to be awesome to see where God leads you in your life and the news that we get back from wherever you go in this world. We look forward to it. However, what would make my heart, and I believe the heart of most people in this room, prouder and gladder than any achievement you could ever muster is this: are you living your life in a holy way, set apart to God? That is what's most important this morning. So your calling might be to drive a truck. Your calling might be to get shoulder deep in grease fixing a truck. Your calling might be to own a trucking company. Your calling might be to be a lawyer defending trucking companies. Your calling might be to be a designer of brand new trucks. Your calling might be to make so much money it will take a fleet of armored trucks to carry it all. And I hope you succeed. I hope you succeed. Absolutely. But remember, in the midst of it all, keep on trucking toward holiness. That is your number one calling. If you fail there, then you failed in life. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? Number three, if Jesus is the Lord of your will, it's because you make decisions knowing the price that has been paid for you. That's what it says in this last section of the passage of Scripture. Verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It says, look, you know that you've been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, you need to live your life in such a way and make decisions in such a way that it reflects the fact that you are precious and valuable in the eyes of God. Don't throw your life away on something meaningless, on bad decisions, when you have a God who is willing to give His Son for you. It's important that we make decisions knowing the price that was paid for us. Now, when I was a freshman in high school, my parents bought me a new trumpet. Right, I look back on that and think, well, that was a small thing, but it really wasn't, because one day I was playing my trumpet and I looked into my trumpet case and I went, dug in it to get something out, and I found something that they didn't know was there. They may still not know it was there. It was the receipt for the trumpet. It was right in the case. And I looked at the price of that trumpet and it astounded me. I mean, for me, that was a whole lot of money. And I know for them it was a whole lot of money too. And I realized suddenly how much they were willing to sacrifice for me to succeed in an area of my life where they saw me progressing, an area of life where they were proud of me. You know, when I found out what that instrument was worth, what it did to me, first of all, it made me try harder. I'm going to be the best trumpet player I can be because my parents really have invested in me. Secondly, I took care of that trumpet, man. I polished that thing. I didn't want it to get, you know, harmed in any way. I took care of that trumpet, knowing what it cost. You have been bought with an incredible price by God. His Son, Jesus Christ, His very blood, His life. Every decision you make should be made, according to this passage, in reverence and fear, because you are wonderfully made and wonderfully bought. So be careful how you make your decisions. As you make those decisions, say, is this a decision that's pleasing to the Lord who has bought me with the price of His Son, Jesus Christ? Because your hope is found in a Savior who died for you. So if Jesus really is the Lord of your will, it's going to be because you make decisions with the end in mind. There's a great graduation day coming someday soon. And you're going to be a part of that graduation. And what will the rewards look like from your life? If Jesus is the Lord of your will, it's because you make decisions based on your calling. You know that you've been called by God to be holy as He is holy, set apart for Him. So set yourself apart for Him and don't do anything that would jeopardize that. And if Jesus is the Lord of your will, it's because you make decisions knowing the price that has been paid for you. You recognize how valuable the blood of Jesus Christ is and that it is poured over you and you've been saved. And you're going to live your life in such a way that it honors and pleases Him because of that price. So how should this influence your decisions? How will this influence your everyday decisions? You know, you've got a room full of people here with a lot of experience. Okay, there are some that are younger than you here, but the majority are older than you, okay? And as I look out on this group, I see a lot of people who have graduated from high school, some not all that long ago, some a real long time ago. And they all have experienced life. And you can tell by some of the gray hair and some of the bald heads and some of the colored hair that there is a lot of experience in this room. And I guarantee that we could bring people up here one by one by one and they could tell you about the bad decisions that some of them have made in their lives that they wish they had never made, that shaped their future. That if they could go back, they would love to change that bad decision, you know, but they can't. They can't. It's already been done. It's already been forgiven. And the point is, from now on, I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, set apart for Him. He's going to be the Lord of my will. Every decision I make is going to be based on who He is and what He has done for me. And I want to succeed and flourish in my life for Him. I want my life to be a testament of faith in Jesus Christ. When I come to the end, no matter when that is, I want people to say, now there was a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and gave his life for Him. And I pray that that's your desire as well. And I pray that among this group of experienced folks, they would also come up and some of them would tell you about the right decisions that they made, the good decisions that they made. And today, I could stand before you and commend that you would make the same types of decisions. The decisions that were guided and fueled by God. The decisions that may not have been the happy decisions and the feel-good decisions for right now, but the decisions that have colored their lives. And today they could stand before you and tell you about what a wonderful God we have who honors the decisions that we make in His will. So I'd like to welcome you to adulthood. Now, some of you have already been in adulthood for a little while, so. But I want to welcome you to adulthood because you graduate from high school and that is a milestone. But let me tell you some of the things that come along with adulthood. One is risk. First thing that's going to happen when you walk on the college campus is somebody's going to approach you and say, hey, how would you like a credit card? We'll give you a free Frisbee, a pizza, if you take this credit card. Did anybody experience that when they got to a college campus? No! It happens on every college campus. It is a huge ploy that the banks are using. Come here and sign up for your first credit card. Isn't it great to have that piece of plastic with your name on it and that free pizza that lasted for one night and gave you indigestion? But now, you have the power to take this great credit card and go out and buy a whole new wardrobe before school starts. Yeah, you're gonna be the big man on campus, right? Until the first bill comes in. See, there's a lot of risk in being an adult. I hear laughter because I know the experience, and you do too. That's not the only risk. There are lots of risks and landmines to look out for. And I tell you, make the right decisions. Because you're an adult and there's risk that comes with being an adult. There's also responsibility that comes with being an adult. You make your own decisions. See, up to this point in your life, many of you, your parents have made a lot of the decisions for you. You know, and some of your parents are probably still making decisions for you that they shouldn't be making. They call them helicopter parents. They kind of hover over your life, make your decisions. Let me tell you something. Don't let your parents come into your college class and tell your professor how you should be doing. That's not their job. That's your job. Your responsibility now is, as an adult, is to make decisions for yourself that your parents used to make. You know, you're going to go through the food line at school. What am I going to eat today? You get to decide, and it's a buffet with all sorts of wonderful choices. They have food in these college cafeterias like I never experienced when I was in college. It's incredible, these places. I mean, when I have gone to visit my daughters at college, I've said, man, if I went here, I would weigh 300 pounds plus. Incredible. But you got decisions to make, from what you're going to eat to what time you're going to go to class to what class you're going to take, what professor you're going to take, you know, who you're going to hang out with. Are you going to get to church on Sunday morning or not? You know, you're going to be a part of a campus ministry and Bible study, or, you know, I'm just going to put that stuff aside for now. I'm saying there's going to be so many decisions in your life that you're responsible for. And I implore you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to make those decisions with the Lord of your will being God Himself. Allow Him to make those decisions for you. Welcome to adulthood. There's also reward in adulthood. Understand that. Word of God says you reap what you sow. So look, if you start making the right decisions, the good decisions, and if you start living your life for Him, you're going to see tremendous blessing. You may also experience tremendous suffering. But even suffering when the Lord is in it is better than blessing when it's the blessing of the world. So please recognize the risk, the responsibility, and the reward of being adult. Now, an adult is not always a good thing, okay? I mean, adult movies, adult humor, adult beverages, adultery, these all have the word adult in them. And I don't understand. Sometimes I would say nobody ever said that adults are always smart, because sometimes adults make stupid decisions. And I pray that you as adults will be an example to the peers around you of someone who, if there's a battle being fought over your decision making, but you've decided that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your will. and you will decide as He leads and as He guides. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You today for the opportunity to share with these precious graduates today and their families and everyone in the room that we have a God who cares about what we do, a God who cares about the decisions we make, and a God who will allow You, who will guide us one step at a time toward Your plan and Your purpose. We recognize, Lord, that You have a great plan for each one of us. And we apologize, Lord, and confess that we have a great plan for ourselves that sometimes doesn't include You. Lord, we repent of that attitude and pray, Father, that You would be the Lord of our will. Each decision, small and big, as we continue through this life, Lord, help us to surrender it to You for Your purpose, for Your will. Father, that when we stand before You on a day to come, that great graduation day in the future, that we can stand with rewards earned from living a life full of great decisions for You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.